Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Wednesday Conversation. I'm Mike Kresnick, and I'm here with Pastor Bob Thune and Pastor Dusty White of Coram Deo Church and Pastor Chris Hemmelman of First City Church. Every Wednesday, we sit down and talk about how the gospel of Jesus Christ connects to the questions and issues of everyday life. And today, we're talking about the moralizing of mask wearing.
So we're in a coronavirus pandemic.
Is that what this is?
Global pandemic.
You want to wear if you want to wear a mask, cool. But could you avoid moralizing it? That's the essence of this podcast. Look, I don't want to talk about whether the store should make you wear a mask or whether various businesses can do that. As far as I'm concerned, they can do what they want. It bugs me a little bit when I go to a store and they're like, you can't come in unless you have a mask on, because I kind of feel like, well, okay, I mean, I guess.
You feel like just boycotting?
It's just, I mean, there's other reasons, but here's what I'm concerned about right now. We're specifically wanting to talk about the church's conversation around this, because here's what's happening. A lot of churches obviously are thinking about how they're going to return to worship. Each state has kind of a different time frame where that's going to happen. Some already have, some are yet to do that. And in a lot of those places, pastors are asking the question, when we come back for worship, are we going to make people wear masks? Are we going to ask people to wear masks? Are we going to not have a policy on whether you wear masks or not, or should we? And or is our local government going to make us do something? So there's a lot of sort of room for different sort of ways of parsing that out. What I am seeing that I'm very concerned about is pastors and church leaders turning this into a moral right-wrong issue instead of treating it as a wisdom issue. And I think that is a major problem, and I want to talk about that. And as Christians listen to this podcast and church leaders, I want to force us to think in categories of wisdom and grow in our ability to apply wisdom rather than having to turn everything into a moral issue. So let me talk about what the difference is between those two things, I think. The way this podcast got started, the way this topic came on the table, is I started getting text messages this week from a bunch of church planters I coach who are trying to ask the question, when are we going to reopen? How are we going to reopen? What are our policies going to be? How are we going to do this? Some of them meet in schools. Some of them have their own buildings. There's all kinds of different situations. And one of the questions was, hey, are you guys reading what's out there about requiring masks? Here's an article. Here's a blog. Here's a person who has an opinion. What should we do with this? You know, do we agree, disagree? How should we treat this question? And again, what I want to do is give lots of freedom there and say, hey, each church is free to make a decision, and each locality probably has different reasons why they might want to or not want to require masks. It probably depends on how significant the outbreaks have been where you are and all these things and what your personal preferences are. And there's lots of room there for churches to be different. But what's happening is, well, there's some church leaders who are pressing very clear moral categories on the rest of the church here. And the way it generally looks, I sent these guys one article from a pastor in Houston who basically says, hey, look, Jesus commanded you to love your neighbor. Wearing a mask is how you love your neighbor. If you don't wear a mask, you're saying you don't want to love your neighbor. You're an unloving person. And we're just not going to let you do that. That's unchristian. So now I've turned wearing a mask or not wearing a mask into a question of Christian love and obedience or a failure to love and obey Christ. I think that is a significant problem and a significant danger. I think this pastor is dead wrong to frame the issue that way. But here's why I think pastors prefer to do that. Because if I'm trying to look at my congregation and say, you all need to wear masks to church, which I'm not saying that yet. Maybe our perspective on that will change, but for now, that's not my conviction. But if I was a pastor saying that to my church, I felt like, hey, you all need to wear masks to church. It's a lot easier to lean back into a moral imperative for that should than to say, hey, as best as I can apply Christian wisdom to this situation and to our context, I think it's wise for us to wear masks. Therefore, I'm going to ask that we all do that. One is a sort of black and white moral imperative. One is more, hey, here's how I've chosen or how our elders have chosen to apply biblical wisdom, and so we're going to ask you to respect that. The first category, that black and white moral imperative, feels more rock solid and unarguable than the second one, where I can look at you and be like, well, Chris, why did the elders come to that conclusion? I think that's dumb.
So does it feel like a preemptive, I don't want to deal with the stress and challenge of having to justify and work through this. If I can just draw a clear line in the sand, then I can eliminate and kind of stave off arguments
Yes.
ahead of ever having to deal with it.
I think it is a failure of nerve on the part of leaders.
We've been on a
Sounds like a book.
Yeah, it's Edwin Friedman playing out again.
Yeah.
Mark Driscoll, God rest his soul, said something really helpful.
He's still alive.
a decade ago or so.
Somewhere.
He said, hey, look, as the leaders of the local church, elders have permission to make house rules. House rules are, you know, think about your house. Hey, here's how we do it at our house. We don't have cell phones in the bedroom, or we don't have televisions in the bedroom, or everybody comes to the table to eat dinner, whatever. You have house rules that are not moral imperatives. There's no Bible verse about them. They're just how you do things because you're the parents and you get to do that. And he says, hey, in a local church, it's okay for elders to treat some things that way. That's what mask wearing is. It's one of those things. It's like, hey, your elders are free to require the congregation to do that. And if I am a member in your congregation and you look at me and say, hey, look, based on the elders' application of biblical wisdom, we're going to ask you to wear a mask. It's my job, based on Hebrews 13, to say, okay, I'm going to obey my leaders and submit to their authority in this matter. But I think for leaders who are concerned about pushback, are concerned about, I don't want to have to answer all the questions about this. I don't want to have to deal with the emails. I don't want to have to deal with all the different people in my church who have different opinions. I'm just going to try to treat this as a black and white moral imperative because it absolves me from having to do the work as a leader of standing in a place of conviction, despite the fact that people might not appreciate that.
So to be fair, could this possibly be a moral issue, but you're saying you don't think the science justifies raising it to that black and white of a level?
I think there are multiple questions there. I think the science surrounding the question right now is still ambiguous. And I, that's not me talking. That's me quoting a pulmonologist who I have an email from, who basically says, hey, the research on this isn't conclusive either way. You know, so it's sort of, we're sort of doing a, what's your best wisdom in this particular situation? So I do think the science is still ambiguous. Could it rise to a level of something that would make it a moral imperative? I think so. Yeah, I don't think I'm saying this could never be, I could never see a situation in which we would say, hey, this is a must for God's people. This is a failure to love your brother if you do not do X. So I think it's hypothetically, I could see this, the science or the research ultimately leading us to the place where we would say, hey, based on what we're seeing here, we have to draw a line in the sand here. That's not where we are. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, I'm saying there's two problems for me there. One is the drawing of the line in the sand when we're not there yet. And two is the compulsion to draw a line in the sand instead of just saying, hey, we're going to use a wisdom category here and feel free to do that.
Yeah. And that's part of the reason why I've hesitated a little bit to talk about this directly from the pulpit. I've actually been tempted to a couple times and in dialogue with some people about me just wanting to sort of address, hey, we're not going to divide over this. And here's the reasons why. It was kind of, as we were talking through, it was, hey, some people actually believe this is a life and death issue. And so in order to address all of that, you'd have to kind of get into the science and show why the science isn't conclusive. And that just sounded really complex. And I'm only trying to preach for like 25 minutes. So I've kind of, you know, set that aside on a Sunday. But in many ways, we've been meeting in person the past 2 weeks, we've had to address this. And I found myself, as we were thinking through this process and just kind of seeing what was out there, getting more and more frustrated with the way that this was being addressed. And it almost felt like, hey, you're leaving me in a position that if I'm not saying it the way you are, that I'm coming across as the pastor who doesn't love people. And it's like, that just like completely puts you back on your heels in an defensive position. And I wanted to push back really quickly, but I'm doing that on the podcast instead of on a Sunday.
that's a failure of nerve, Chris. No, I'm kidding.
So you're saying, to be clear here, like I think I hear what everybody's saying, but Bob, you don't have an issue with me if I'm a pastor over in small town Iowa and I got a bunch of elderly people and I say the best way for us to love our elderly congregation and the wisest decision we could make would be to wear masks.
Yeah, I don't. I'm saying I think,
as or long, something like that.
Yeah, as long I would even say, I just don't like it being framed currently mm-hmm. as a question of love or lack of love.
Yeah,
I just think that's a weird category for us to use when we could just say, when we could get the same result by saying, hey, we think it's wise and appropriate for the current season that we're in to ask everyone to do this. So that's what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. End of story. Not, yeah. Mm-hmm. Gosh, we're failing to love the. If you show up without a mask onto church, you suddenly do not love mm-hmm. the yeah. gray-haired person sitting next to you.
Well, in one of these articles that we're interacting with, I think what's hard about it, what's hard about me saying, hey, if you loved people, you would wear a mask to church, so we're just going to wear them. What's hard about that scenario I'm putting myself in is, when do I pull the plug on that? Like, when? What's right. the end date for that? Because now my end date is going to be different than your end date.
Right.
And so am I now not loving you if my end date's sooner?
Right. I think one of two things could happen here, right? It could be that research and science continues to show, hey, actually, man, mask wearing makes a huge significant difference in a public gathering. And so we could be led toward, hey, this is kind of a best practice, you know? I don't think we're there yet scientifically. The other place this could go is, I was just looking back at photos from the 1918 flu pandemic, and you see people wearing homemade masks just because it's like, when there's a pandemic and we're not sure what's going on here, it's just sort of one of those careful practices,
better
right?
Safe
and so,
than sorry.
It, right. Yeah. Better safe than sorry. And so I think that could be where we are too. It's like, hey, all the people that do this right now, they're doing a better safe than sorry thing. And man, 3 months from now, everybody stops wearing masks because, you know what, the thing's kind of dissipated, or we have a vaccine, or immune system, you know, there's herd immunity, whatever the scenario is. So I could see it going either of those directions. Either there's a more compelling reason to require this, or there's a less compelling reason why we'd want to do this as a safe practice. I get frustrated when it feels like people right now are talking as though they have the certainty that either of those trajectories is where we're headed. And I just would like to say, hey, we don't know. Let's just acknowledge we don't know. And you, pastor, feel free to make whatever call you need to make for your congregation. I'm coaching a bunch of church planners right now. I got texts this morning from two of them. One of them is in Austin, Texas, and Austin is a very cause-oriented, progressive. We recycle before anybody else. We drive hybrids before anybody else. And so guess what they're doing right now? Wearing masks before everybody else. And he said, I walked into Chipotle yesterday. There was one guy that walked in without a mask, and people started cussing at him. Like, that's the culture of Austin, Texas. Just like, darn it, if you're not wearing a mask, you're an evil and probably Trump-loving person, right? Then I'm coaching a guy who's in a rural place. He's like, hey, we got 10 cases in our whole county, and there is just zero reason here why anyone feels a need to wear a mask. And so why would we require that to come to church? That's just like, no one in our county is wearing them to do anything else, you know? And so those are two very different places. And I think there may be two reasons for two different applications of biblical wisdom in each of those settings. Mm. I want to leave that freedom for people rather than saying, hey, if you saying to the guy in a rural place, hey man, you're failing in Christian love if you don't require your people to wear masks at church.
Yeah. And according to half the articles out there, that's the case,
yeah,
right?
That's what's frustrating is I sent these guys an article from a pastor in Houston who basically says, the title of the article is Why My Church Will Wear Masks. And his statement is, because this is, Jesus told us to love one another. And if you don't do this, you don't, in fact, he makes this statement in here that was so frustrating to me. If you don't wear a mask, you've made the statement, I think I am more important than you are. So we're implying what's going on in your heart motive here. Like the implication of that statement is like, the fact that I know what you're saying in your heart by not wearing a mask is very, very concerning to me. And so this article frustrated me because the other thing he's doing is linking to a bunch of other blogs and articles and saying, well, this scientist over here says this and this person says this. And based on these three things, you know, here's why we think this is a moral issue, you know? And so it's sort of like there's a pseudoscientific grounding to it, and also this really strong moral imperative, and also this judgment of the motives of people who don't agree.
Yeah. The most annoying thing about that article is he ends with a quote from The Mandalorian. Just stop it, people, please. This is the way. No, sorry. But to your point though, Bob, what I thought was interesting reading that article is that he could have made the case using the principle that you're saying.
Yeah, he could have made a wisdom case.
Hey, here's kind of what we're seeing in our area. Yep. And here's kind of some reasons why we believe that wearing a mask, and especially in a church our size, would be wise. This is why we're making the decision. And I think it would have been a fine case. He wouldn't have had to overstate it and frame it as this moral love issue. So in some ways, he almost like shot himself in the foot by backing away from just wisdom.
Right.
Number one, it's easier for me as a pastor to just move towards this type of language than it is wisdom, right? Like as a leader, as a pastor, I would have to have a little bit more courage to stand on my own two feet with wisdom. So it's actually a slippery slope and dangerous for me to say, this is how it would be. This is how we need to love one another.
And there's I don't want to make the conversation about this article, but another thing he says in the same paragraph you were quoting, Dusty, is why is this pandemic continuing? We still have a pandemic because most Americans are too proud to wear a cloth mask. Now, I have not heard any epidemiologist say that statement, that that's why the pandemic is continuing. I think everybody I'm hearing that's wise is saying, hey, this is multi-causal and multi-maintained. There's lots of reasons why this is still going on, and there's lots of reasons why it looks different in various localities. A brash sort of like, this is happening because you're too proud to wear a mask, doggone it, just feels like this weird moralizing, condemning, judgmental, holier than thou. It's, to me, it's absolutely unbecoming of what actually pastoral leadership should look like. Mm-hmm. And I'm with you, Chris. He could have got to the same place and made the same call mm-hmm. to his congregation had he merely said, hey, here's some scientific data. Here's what we're seeing locally in our context. And here's what we think our position is going to be. And if you don't like it, it's okay. But here's what we're asking you to do. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And again, I think it takes a different kind of courage. It takes a willingness to have personal courage to do something like that that opens me up to attack or disagreement. And mm-hmm. it's a lot easier just to push you back into the corner of like, well, if you're an unloving person, Chris, and you want to keep the pandemic going, then feel free to not wear a mask.
Well, don't tell this guy that we're not requiring masks at First City, because he would call us all unloving.
Yeah. But at the same time, some people at First City might wear a mask, right?
Yeah. So
they have freedom to do that.
They have the freedom to do that. Yeah. I mean, when we decided to resume meetings and how we were going to approach this, I think the thing that I was burdened for was that I didn't want the folks who wear a mask to feel uncomfortable for doing that, because I, again, knowing my context, knowing who's in our church and just kind of knowing the dynamics, I heard anecdotally from folks in our church, hey, if you don't require everybody to wear masks, I'm not going to show up. And then if you do require everybody to wear masks, I'm not going to show up. Mm. So yeah, that was kind of the data I was hearing. I'm like, okay, great. That's why
good luck making a decision.
Pull your congregation.
Who do I like better right now?
Yeah. So we honestly, like, believing that that you know, reading the science is, hey, the science is not definitively declaring one way or another. The CDC was making recommendations. Knowing some people were and some people weren't. The way we phrase it is, hey, the CDC currently has this recommendation that you wear a mask when you're out in public. If this is your normal practice, then you are more than welcome to wear a mask. We encourage you to wear a mask when you come. However, it's not required. We leave it to the discretion of an individual or a family whether or not you're going to wear a mask when you come. So we left it open to that decision. And I know there are folks that are not coming because not everybody in the room is wearing a mask, and that's fine. I understand that decision. They're free to do that. We're not going to, you know, argue about that decision. One of the things we communicated when we were getting back together was saying, hey, if you don't feel comfortable, if it's going to be tough for you to be in the room and you can't be present in the room, you're just not ready to come back, fine. That's okay. No judgment there. So it was really important for us to create an environment where people could be present and be comfortable and be focused on worship rather than worrying about whether this person had a mask on or not. So that's the approach that we took with some of our volunteers, that some of our people who are greeting or were kind of helping usher seat people or with communion. We thought, hey, it'd probably be wise if they wore a mask just because they would probably get in closer proximity and to set people at ease, and just because it could be helpful. So there are a few of our volunteers wearing it, but on the whole, most folks aren't. But the folks that are, you can tell they don't feel uncomfortable. They don't feel like they're being ostracized or singled out or feeling weird because they're in the room when most people aren't wearing a mask. So I'm really grateful that the Lord created a sense of unity in First City. And I'm not patting myself on the back. This is more than just me, but the leadership. I think the way that we communicated from a leadership level was an unanxious, riled up, defensive posture.
That's important.
And I think it set the tone for the folks in our church of saying, hey, let's just enter into this based on kind of where we are and the decisions that we're making, and that's fine.
Well, and I think what you're seeing in your own congregation, right, bears out the truth of, hey, just basic wise leadership, people generally respect that. And my concern, I guess, where I want this podcast to be applied is not for people to walk out about should we wear masks to church or not. That's a secondary consideration. My bigger consideration is I want evangelical Christians to have a better appreciation for wisdom as a category and not have to back everything into a moral argument because it just feels safer and more clean.
Yeah.
And that's what it feels like to me is going on here. It's like, it's cleaner and safer if I can make this moral than if I can just say, hey, here's what we're, here's the practice we're going to adopt as a church. And I just need you guys to appreciate that and own that. And, you know, here's our reasoning behind that.
Cause I didn't also want to be in the place where defending my decision using this argument, well, the science is inconclusive. And so I didn't want that to be the center of the battle. I wanted it to be a multifaceted wisdom, which takes into consideration multiple elements.
Right.
And not just trying to reduce it down to this one thing.
Well, and wisdom is complicated and nuanced, right? And it takes, I mean, again, we were trying to frame out before we turn on the mics, hey, what would change how a decision like this feels? And I used the example of, okay, well, let's make it Ebola instead of COVID, right? A 50% death rate. And, okay, man, that's, you're dealing with a way, way, way more significant level of risk there that might make me say, hey, we have to require that. What we're dealing with is a disease that has a 1% case fatality rate, which just says to me, like, you know, we're treating the sort of mask or no mask conversation as though it has this heavyweight moral force. That it's funny to me that churches don't require me to wash my hands when I leave the bathroom. You know what I mean? Like, like there's things we don't require people to do and have never required people to do. Yeah. And no one even asks about it. And I'm just like, sometimes I'll be at a restaurant and see a guy leave the bathroom without washing his hands. I'm like, dude, that's that's freaking disgusting. What are you doing?
Yeah. You want to go get him and pull him back in the
bathroom. Right. But at the end of the day, I can't require you to do that. It's not my, you know, it's not my restaurant. But it's interesting that masks are quickly becoming the thing that, whether you require them or don't require them, says something about, do you love people or not? Are you an intelligent person or not? Do you think this disease matters or not? You know, it's like a proxy for all these other conclusions we're drawing about each other. And that's, I just think that's unwise and unbiblical.
It's fascinating to me that culturally, and even we're seeing this in the church too, where we're judging people by their outward appearance. You just mentioning that was like, oh, I can't hide behind that. That's something that's visual and out there. And how are people going to perceive me? How are people going to perceive my church? That has to be a heavy burden that church leaders and Christians are carrying. And that's an interesting thing about this for me is, when you have Christian leaders heaping guilt on people, that's not biblical. It's not you're not pointing out sin in categorizing a mask in the form of sin and righteousness is just, like you said earlier, Bob, it's dangerous.
Yeah. Well, and turning it into a failure to love, that's just not, you know, that's how they're doing it. Well, the sin is you're failing to love your neighbor. And again,
What Jesus meant when he said that, though? Like, that category of love seems so broad to me that we're narrowing it down to this is how you love your neighbor through a mask.
Well, I would just say it seems to have, like, that's the thing everybody's focused on right now.
Sure.
So it's just it's a present enough tangible thing that I think it feels very present tense to people.
Yeah.
You know, I would say, like, I would say things like, hey, look, mowing your lawn is loving your neighbor. wearing a seatbelt and driving the speed limit is loving your neighbor. Washing your hands after you go to the bathroom is loving. Like, there's all kinds of conduct in the world actually is rooted in, man, I want to love my neighbor as myself, right? This is getting a weird sort of like specialized focus, this whole mask conversation, in a way that feels to me like both unjustified currently scientifically, but also unjustified in terms of the way we're emphasizing this versus other things. So to go back to the CDC guidance, right now, there are certain places, maybe Austin, Texas is one of them, right? Or there's certain places in the country where if I walked in with a mask on, but hadn't washed my hands in 3 days, touched my face 100 times, you know, did all the other stuff the CDC says don't do, no one would care because I was wearing a mask.
Yeah, as long as you're wearing
a mask.
And
by the contrast, if I was washing my hands every 5 minutes, covering my sneeze, right, doing all the other, keeping 6 feet of distance, doing all that but wearing no mask, everybody would be judging me like I was a terrible person.
Yeah.
and that's where it feels to me like it has a disingenuous forcefulness to it.
Dusty, if you and I walked into Chipotle and I had a mask on and you didn't have pants on, or I didn't have a mask on, you didn't have pants on, who'd get in trouble?
Yeah.
They'd yell at me.
Exactly.
I'd go, look, this dude doesn't have pants on, but they'd
yell at both of you. Yeah. Put some pants on, Dusty.
Put some pants on. Depends on what city we're
depends, in. Definitely depends on the city.
Okay, so mask or no mask, sounds like if I show up at either one of your guys' church, you're going to leave that up to me as far as my freedom of conscience there.
Well, and again, I think it's contextual. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, but that could change. Right?
What about singing? I hear, you know, there's a lot of churches that are not a lot, but there is talk out there in the Twitter world about singing. There's deeper breaths. There's chance of more droplet coming out. If I'm not wearing a mask, Chris, at your church, you're going to let me sing too?
We're doing that too.
Wow.
Well, and that's these things are all getting conflated.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so I think, hey, we're going to take a wisdom-oriented, learning-as-we-go sort of approach.
Yeah.
Right? So we're going to say, hey, right now we're not going to require that. But gosh, 3 months from now, we might, as elders, make a different decision because of what we've learned.
Sure.
And there might even be, like, I could even conceive of, like, oh, and we might have to go back and say, hey, actually, we should have made a different decision back there over there. Mm-hmm. There's room to make mistakes here, right? Yeah. And room for us to sort of grow.
Well, and there recently was a church that had an outbreak when they started reconvening. And of course, people are quick to jump into, well, it was because they didn't wear masks. They were singing, like all these things.
We know all the reasons.
And and again, it reduces complex factors down to simplistic explanations. Mm. And we could, there are probably other churches that have done the exact same thing and no outbreaks.
Right. You don't hear those stories.
You know, do I get to go on Twitter and a month from now, 2 months, 3 months from now and say, hey, First City's been meeting for 3 months and we've been doing this, this, and this, no masks, we're singing. Outbreak free, stick it, you know, what do you do with that? You know? So it's just dangerous to start to kind of judge people's motives, extrapolate cause and effect based on such a small little model. And even some of the, you know, the way that the outbreak with the choir and the singing, some of the way that that's been construed is very simplistic. So I, you know, based on the data in Sarpy County, Nebraska, and then in Nebraska, based on other practices that we have as far as how far chairs are, you know, we're not just being reckless, but we believe that the risk, the way that we phrased this when we got back together, said, hey, yes, there's always a risk, but the risk is low enough that we believe that if we practice the things that we put in place, if we do this, we are going to be generally safe.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's at the end of the day, every leader's desire is to err on the side of, I want to make sure I make the best decision for the people that God's entrusted to me, right? Like, I don't think any leaders like want to be brash and haphazard here. Every church leader, every pastor I know is trying to ask what is the wisest course of action to make sure that I'm creating the safest environment I can, you know? And there's some degree of wisdom that's required in assessing all the variables in that kind of equation, right? And I think going back to the podcast we did a few weeks ago about like the emphasis on data, right? Like what a lot of people are doing is like, oh, there's a scientific study that says X or a scientific study that says Y. That's all I need to give me the data to justify the reason I've made X decision. Instead of saying, hey, look, we're trying to take into account a number of factors, a number of variables, a number of different kinds of risk, right? Someone sent me an article, just as an aside, a few weeks ago that was from the CDC that said, hey, people who attend religious services have a 5 times lower rate of suicide than those who don't. And so when you're talking like this was during quarantine, right? See, when you're talking about this huge upheaval in society, what's the risk of the longer we go without worshiping, the worse it is for people's mental health compared to the risk of, hey, you know what? If we're all getting a room together, there's some risk related to catching a virus, right? So there are a number of factors that every church leader is trying to weigh and give credence to, and they're going to come down differently on those things. And the apologetic of this podcast and the sort of call I want to make is, let's have a big category for, hey, it's okay to just say, we're leaning into what we believe is wise here. Mm. And stand in that place. Don't feel a need to justify it with some black and white moral imperative. Just say, hey, here's what we think is wise right now. And so we're going to stand in that place. And if a month from now it feels like the circumstances have changed and there's a need to make a different decision, we'll feel free to do that. And that will be wise also, right? That's how wisdom works, is it takes into account a lot of factors and tries to weigh all of that in prayer before the Lord and make a decision rooted in good, courageous wisdom.
The goal of this podcast is to equip our own churches for discipleship and mission. So if you're a Christian or church leader in another context, we thank you for listening in, and we pray that this conversation might be helpful to you as you minister in your own context. As always, we love to hear from you, so send us an email, podcast@cdomaha.com, and all of your hate mail to chris@firstcitybellevue.com.
Yeah, boy.
That was good. And we hope that you join us next Wednesday for another Wednesday conversation.